Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is one of the great passages of the Bible in which God's intent for humanity is so clear. God's plan to reach the whole world takes the form of calling a man and a woman, calling individual people, blessing them, and then calling them to be a blessing. Somehow, through them, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It's not unlike Jesus choosing the 12. It's not unlike God saying, I'm going to work with everyday normal people like the ones who show up at Wildwood Presbyterian Church every week. The great biblical promise is revealed here. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. God loves us so we can love others. God encourages us so we can encourage others. God forgives us so we can forgive others. God gives us life so we can give life to others. That is the principle, really, of paying it forward, this whole capital campaign. When you have been given an extraordinary gift, such as the gift we've been given, you can't really pay back the one who gave it to you. They don't need what you have to give them. God doesn't need what we have to give back. The only way to pay God back is to pay it forward, to be a blessing. Now, of course, sometimes people get this more than others. Here's a story of a millionaire in the 1920s who would be, what, a billionaire now? I don't know. Who gave away much of his fortune to churches and institutions that would benefit the community. He helped several of them build buildings in which to do their good works. And when the stock market crashed in 1929, he lost everything. His entire fortune wiped out. One day he stood with a friend in front of one of the buildings that his dollars had helped to build. And the friend gestured toward the brick and the mortar and said, I bet you wish you had some of the money that built this building back in your pocket. The former wealthy man replied, You know, I really do not. I do not. You see, everything I kept for myself is lost. Only that which I gave away remains. That which I kept for myself is lost. Only that which I gave away remains. Is this a story about how we use our money? Of course it is. Do we use our money in the service of what lasts, what matters, of what's eternal? Or do we use our money in the service of what's fragmentary, what's temporary, what's gone in a moment? Don't we want our money to make a difference? I mean, the church is already making a difference, and it'll keep on making that difference in this place for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, long after we're gone. Giving to pay it forward is an investment that will last forever. All that I kept for myself is gone. Only that which I gave away remains. That's not just a financial statement, though. That's a spiritual truth. What we cling to most tightly often just slips from our grasp. And yet what we freely give away to others turns out to be the real measure of our lives. Arthur Ashe, the great tennis player who was an even greater human being, said, We make a living by what we keep, but we make a life by what we give. Or as the Bible put it, we're blessed in order to be a blessing. Over a century ago, a Norwegian businessman opened the page of his morning newspaper, and he got the shock of his life because he read his own obituary in the paper. It was a mistake, of course. It was the businessman's brother who had died. A reporter had gotten confused, written the obituary for the wrong man. But because of that mistake, that businessman got a disturbing look at the way people would remember him, at the way the world would remember his life. They got the details of his life right. They got the dates, the names, the achievements, but there was nothing in the obituary that reflected what he believed, what he valued, what he treasured the most. The obituary told about his factories, his inventions, his patents, his wealth, and there were plenty of all of those because early in his career, Alfred Nobel had invented dynamite. Dynamite. So his obituary reflected the great contribution that he had made to human life, to violence and war and destruction. When Alfred Nobel read his obituary, he thought, I don't want my life to stand for this. And so he took this opportunity that had been given to him to live his life differently. He began giving money away, and in his will, he left money for the Nobel Prizes to honor those in science and the humanities who have made this world a better place, and to honor with the Nobel Peace Prize those who have made great efforts toward world peace. You know, he got the chance to review his own life by reading his own obituary. He recognized how he'd been blessed and then determined from then on that he would be a blessing. We're not likely to get a wake-up call like Alfred Nobel did. We're not likely to read our own obituary in the newspaper. But you know, we can imagine each of us what our obituary would say. Try it. Try to imagine what your obituary would say, and then decide if that's an obituary you can live with. If it is, then chances are you know something about the grace and the goodness of God. If not, if it's not an obituary you can live with, then there's still time. There's still time to write a different ending to the story of your life. Time to change your route, if not your destination. Time to realize that you are indeed blessed to be a blessing. If you're not sure what road to take, you might think about the road we talk about during Lent, the one that leads to Jerusalem. It's a bit risky, true, but you won't travel alone. Jesus, the one who leads us on that way, he ends up giving his life at the end. But then he's the one who said that whoever tries to save his life will lose it, and only those who give up their lives will find it. After all, at the end, only that which you give away remains. Giving your life away is the only way to get a life, Jesus says. And you don't have to wait for someone to write your obituary to learn that. Pray with me. Lord, each of us has time left. Time left to choose to write the story of our lives. Let us do so with intent. And with the knowledge that indeed you have blessed us so that we may be a blessing. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen. And let's worship God now with our gifts and with song.